So I'll do my best to share some dharma tonight. And the topic tonight is, here's some tachinis and living fearlessly, walking the path of heart. Oh, also there's our Instagram. We finally got our socials together. In the chat, if you are on social media, come join us. And Johnny's also posted my web calendar, so if you are interested in more events, they're all listed there. So I've been reading about dakinis lately. Super, super cool. So, so interesting. In the Tibetan Buddhist tradition, dakini are embodiments of enlightened energy. Embodiments of enlightened energy. And in very, very simple terms, very elementary and simple terms, dakini act out this type of karma, this type of enlightened karma, or manifest it through us. So that is what they are said to do. Dakini are responsible for organizing things as they unfold. This is an energetic force. This reality as it relates to enlightened energy. Isn't that interesting? This little category of energetic force known as dakini. Dakini activity, we might call it. So they can be fearsome. They can be fearsome and wrathful and terrifying. And dakini can be fearsome protectors, manifestors of miracles and bringers of opportunities, gifts, and powers, it's said. This is what they say. I don't like dakinis. They also have consorts, so they have a counterparts and that are referred to as daka, but they're generally seen as one being, the same being. And there are thousands of them, thousands of various dakini, but a few main groups of dakini. So I have some images I want to show you. And Johnny will show us a few. Here's one you can see. She's actually standing what appears to be on what appears to be a human form atop a lotus, surrounded in flames. You can see her garlands of heads and perhaps holding, it appears to be a perhaps a corpse, yes, dancing. And you can see her medicines off to each side there, including the concha. And the next one, Johnny. Oh, this is the lion-faced dakini. Appears to be perhaps eating some form of life force, brains perhaps, draped lion face, elephant energy there. You can see also surrounded, engulfed in the flames, those are the flames of transformation. And the next one. Oh, I love this one. She looks so beautiful and serene, yes. You can see the starlight and the moonlight are her powers. You can see she has a blade with a dorsal handle. And I think we have one more. Oh yes, this one, the most fearsome of all. I think she's heart eating. She has a maw of skulls. Also a blade with a dōjō handle. She looks very, very frightening. Fearsome Dakini. Thank you, Johnny. We can come back to the screen now. So, fearsome. Yes. So, I wanted to talk a bit on fearlessness. Fearlessness. Many of us, most of us, are walking around carrying some form of fear, some form of contraction. Whether it's doubt, it manifests as doubt, it manifests as anxiety. Even anger can be a manifestation of fear, hatred, a manifestation of fear. That which we are averse to, that which we push away. Fear comes up for us in so many different ways. Inhibits us as we move toward fuller authenticity, deeper freedom, more mature equanimity. So, facing the energy of a Dakini might be something like facing an all-seeing mirror, I would think. Yeah? So, how to be fearless, how to be whole and complete and naked in the face of this all-seeing mirror, this Dakini energy. And move beyond fear. So I want to make a distinction that fearlessness and courage are not the same. There's a difference. I remember in childhood riding bikes. You know, we used to do things. We used to do dangerous things without fear. Just without fear. Until what? Some terrible, terrible accident on the crossbar or jumping a ramp that was never a good idea and falling and having some type of experience that tells us we should be cautious, a little more cautious, yes? And so caution, fear arises, and so it takes courage to move through fear. It's a little bit different than fearlessness, the absence of fear. I like to think of fear or anxiety, contraction, however it manifests, as an opportunity. And so, this is an opportunity as a doorway. These are opportunities to get in touch with our obstacles, our blockages, and the roots behind some of these intense emotions that are based and that are rooted in fear. Opportunities to move toward fearlessness and deeper equanimity follows. Nothing to fear. There's nothing really to fear, no death. No fear, as Thich Nhat Hanh would say. So it's interesting when we think about this unfolding that we are walking around in, this constantly unfolding creation that is all around us. It's not limited to here on Earth, the entire universe, the entire reality. Or realities, if you will, unfolding each moment based on what we are doing within it, what we are creating. Many of us think of action and how we impact this life or manifest in this life, in the world, as physical activity, what we do in our bodies, as moving around physically in our bodies and doing stuff. We're moving energy around. Sometimes we exchange energy. Energy changes form based on our human activity. Yes. Everything here is energy. Everything here is light from the sun. Everything. We just have condensed energy as with the body. When we have light energy, all of it is just energy from the sun, changing form. From the grasses that grow, from the sun to the animals and the trees, all of it is just energy. And so I think what's interesting is that even our emotions are energy, are a form of energy. We can't see them, but we can certainly feel them. Yes, we know that this is real. We can direct our negative or uplifting emotions toward others. And guess what? We impact them. And it doesn't end there. Right? We've impacted them and we've manifested. That being responds or reacts however they will. The situation changes, we've manifested. Our emotional energy is an energy that is felt and absorbed, that creates and manifests. Yes, this is part of our etheric body. It's an ethereal energy. We can't see it, we can't touch it, but we know it's there. We can feel it. Even our thoughts carry energy. Very powerful, these thoughts. Let me read you something from Thich Nhat Hanh. He says, to sit is not enough. We have to be at the same time. To be what? To be is to be a something. You cannot be a nothing. To eat, you have to eat something. You cannot just eat nothing. To be aware is to be aware of something. To be angry is to be angry at something. So to be is to be something. And that something is what is going on in your body, in your mind, in your feelings, and outwardly expressed in the world. Walking around in fear and contraction, what is manifesting? We are whatever it is that we are carrying around here and in here, and we share it. No way. We share it at work, at the grocery store, at home, while driving. Honk, honk, honk. In our beds, we're manifesting, we're creating. Whatever it is we're rolling around in, grumbling over something, we're cultivating this for ourselves. Like a treasure trove, a sack, a giant store of energy around us, we're co-creating all the time. We are who we are. We feel what we feel. Circumstances will be what they are. There's no wrong way to be. But let us be aware of what we are manifesting for ourselves, moment by moment. What is our relationship to what arises? what happens through me. Clear seeing, looking deeply, is how we continue and deepen this awareness. So this isn't about pushing away or shutting down an emotion. What is a relationship to what is arising? I want to show you something else. I just got this book. I love it. This is a book of all the different Kuan Yins. So cool. So you can see all of the different ones. And it tells her basically her powers, her strengths, and various things that she does. I want to share this one with you. This is Kuan Yin of Fearlessness. Isn't she cool? So you see she's riding a lion. She's holding, you see a red phoenix, a triple-headed phoenix. She's holding a white bird and the white lotus of truth, I believe. And a fish. She's a four-armed Kuan Yin. She also has her third eye on, which they can see is activated. So the lion represents the magnificent power of the Buddha's teachings, and the lion's roar symbolizes truth. The lion's roar symbolizes truth. Now she's holding the white lotus of truth, which you saw, the flower. The triple-headed phoenix represents the fires of the south, which are the fires of transformation. And the white bird, the small white bird, is to chase away the darkness. It's Kuan Yin of Fearlessness. So cool. So truth is a theme here. Truth is a theme here. You look deeply with our practice and discern the reality. I want to share with you another story that I really like. This is from the book The Hidden Lamp. It's a book of koans. Koans are Zen tradition of short stories or pithy tales that we ponder and look into the deeper meaning, and we can study in this way. So this one is called. It's a little bit crass, but bear with me. I love this little story. It's called Aishun's Deep Thing. Yeah, you can come across as crass, I hope. Not so much for folks here, since we're pretty much family. Aishun was a nun at the monastery of Saijoji. The abbot of Saijoji wanted to send a message to the abbot of the great temple of Engakuji, which was known for its rough treatment of outsiders. None of the monks from Saijoji dared to go. Only Aishun was willing to volunteer. When the Engakuji monks saw her walk through the main gate, one of them rushed forward, raised his robes to expose himself, and said, "This monk's thing is 3 feet long. How about it?" Aishun calmly lifted her robes, spread her legs, and said, "This nun's thing is infinitely deep." She dropped her robes and continued down the corridor unaccosted. So what is the meaning of this? What is this? What is Aishun doing? Aishun's deep thing. Nishun drops her robes completely. She's completely fearless. She releases everything. So our fears come from what? Our fears come from all of this grasping that we do. What? Grasping, holding, clinging. Fear of not having, fear of outcomes, fear of being flawed, fear of being broken, not a right human, not whole. Fear of pain, fear of upset, afraid to love. Fear comes from holding on. Nishun lets go. She lets go. She also wields the power of her womb from which all life emerges and is infinitely deep. And so she's already given everything. There's nothing that can be taken. So she walks in this kind of freedom. I love her fearlessness in that story. And the sun rises, the sun sets. Every day, I want to be in the sun. So the invitation is, how do we find our freedom? How do we find our wholeness? How do we face the Dakini even when the sun is setting? Even amidst the setting sun. I'll read you this. This is in the Majjhima Nikaya. Develop a mind that is vast like space, where experiences both pleasant and unpleasant can appear and disappear without conflict, struggle, or harm. Rest in a mind like vast sky. Sometimes bodhisattva are depicted with two wings, not standing on the earth. And this is to depict that they are not clinging to anything. Not clinging to anything. There's a kind of unshakable quality in that freedom. So can we be, as Thich Nhat Hanh says, can we be this? Mindful of our states, applying our awareness, and applying our volition, our power to direct our beings. Ease and equanimity are really more about opening, softening, and acceptance than about whatever's occurring externally around us. And it's this yo-yoing of our attention that stirs stress and dis-ease in our lives. As anticipating, dwelling, right? We do this. Can't be changed. Past cannot be changed. Future cannot be impacted until we arrive there. My wife has this wonderful gift with email. She just rattles them off. Very easeful. One letter, whatever she needs to do. It's just get the point out, do it. And she never gives them a second thought. For me, it's just an entire arduous process, right? Word by word. Oh my gosh, painstaking. And then once it's sent, then what? It's like a tag or a string that's attached to me. And I have this relationship to it. Oh, I hope what I said didn't impact so-and-so, like X, Y, and Z, or whatever it is, right? But it's gone, it's done. Why do we do this? I'll say more from Thay, more from Thich Nhat Hanh, one of the great masters of our times. He says, our true home is in the here and the now. The past is already gone and the future is not yet here. I have arrived. I am home in the here, in the now. This is our practice. I have arrived. I am home in the here, in the now. This is our practice. You can recite this gatha or poem during walking meditation or sitting meditation. You can practice this poem when you drive to your office. You may not have arrived at your office, but even while you're driving, you have already arrived at your true home, present moment. And with that, it's from No Death, No Fear. So, cultivating this sense, I call it fearlessness. It's really a sense of equanimity in the face of whatever it is, in the face of whatever's arising. Then, without, what does it even look like? Balance, a greater sense of ease, freedom from the torture chambers of our fears. Yeah? And we need each moment in this wild life for what it is. Can we cultivate a wise relationship to whatever is happening? Can we soften our grip around outcomes, even very disappointing ones? Freeing ourselves just a little and work from there. Knowing that each occurrence is the right one for our hearts at that moment, trusting the universe, tapping into the energy of the wisdom dakini, right? Enlightened energy. Can we open our perspectives? Can we open to things just as they have come to be? This life offers us so much material to work with. How do we hold it? There's a story about Deepa Ma. Deepa Ma is one of the great teachers in our lineage. She's an Indian teacher. She actually is accredited with teaching a young Jack Kornfield, a young Joseph Goldstein, and Sharon Salzberg, and so on, and encouraging them to open the centers that we have here, Spirit Rock and IMS. And there's a story. And where she's traveling with a group of nuns, young nuns. And one of the sisters had never flown before on a plane, and there's some turbulence, and this young nun yells out. And Deepa Ma takes her hand and she says, "The daughters of the Buddha are fearless. The daughters of the Buddha are fearless." What does she mean by that? I'll tell you a story. My wife and I we were in Costa Rica just before the pandemic hit. When we flew home, we flew into just before lockdown. And this is my first time there. When we were there, I was bent on ziplining. I wanted to do the zipline. I've never done it. So much fun. Looks so much fun. So we decided to do it in the cloud forest, what they call a cloud forest, which is you have to take a tram. You take a tram up and you're basically above the clouds in these mountains, and it's very cold, it's foggy, it's cloudy, it's windy, it's whippy, but you're very high up. And so you take these zip lines like from mountain peak to mountain peak. I mean, it's high, you're just going, it's wild, so amazing, above the clouds, really beautiful. I would recommend it. So you go with a group. And the entire time, the guides are telling us, "Oh, at the end, we have a surprise for you. We have a little surprise." And I'm thinking they're going to serve us hot cocoa or something like that. Or there's going to be a photo of me that I can buy or something. We get down to the final platform. And typically, there's a zip line, but there was no zip line. And there was no ladder or stairway or anything. And so apparently that was the surprise. The only way down was to bungee off. We're still maybe 100 feet, 150 feet off from the ground. And so you're up there. It's an environment that's, it's very windy. You're holding your cell phone close. You're wrapping your arm around the railing. My wife and I are second. There's a couple in front of us, and everyone else behind us is just screaming, like, just, what are you talking about? How do we get to, oh my gosh. I'm laughing hysterically because I can't believe this is the surprise, and I'm just hysterical. And the couple in front of us are elder, perhaps in their late 70s, I would say, a woman and her husband. And so they just start strapping on the bungee gear to the woman, and she's all excited to go. And the husband is just so contracted, and he's just like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And so they strap her up, and literally she does a hang 10 and says, woohoo, and jumps off. And so they're suiting him up, and he's literally just kind of just bent over almost. And they kind of back him up, his heels to the back, and they just push him off. And he's all contracted. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do this. And they push him off. Two ways to go. One way or another, you're going. Yes. They were also lowering people. People could be lowered down. I chose to jump to bungee because it looked fun. I'd bungee before. How fully can we embrace what's here now? Even uncertainty or fearfulness in the body, this moment. Let's see. Just a couple more things I want to share with you. This is from Chogyam Trungpa, who's a Buddhist master in the Nyingma tradition, scholar and poet. And Shambhala, he's the founder of Shambhala. He says, acknowledging fear is not a cause for depression or discouragement. Because we possess such fear, we also are potentially entitled to experience fearlessness. True fearlessness is not the reduction of fear, but going beyond it. Share with you one last thing. I'll still open it up. Comments. I love this. This was shared with me. It's a collection by Aaron Silver, fellow teacher of stanzas. The bad news is you're falling through the air. Nothing to hang on to, no parachute. The good news is there's no ground. There's no ground. When you express gentleness and precision in your environment, then real brilliance and power can descend into that situation. Hold the sadness and pain of samsara in your heart, and at the same time, the power and vision of the great Eastern Sun, then the warrior can make a proper cup of tea. So I will stop there. So I'd like to Open it up. I'd love to hear how you hold this. How you hold this teaching. This teaching around really equanimity, equipoise. Standing in the face of whatever it is that's arising in our lives, arising in the world, arising in our being. And holding it as a part of what is necessary to soften, necessary to grow, necessary to see, holding it as an opportunity, a doorway, however it is. How do you work with fear? How do you work with fearlessness? How do you work with anxiety? Any comments, any questions that you'd like to share? You can either raise your hands, or you can use the little hand raising button if you'd like. Any comments on that? What I've shared or around Dakini energy? Yes, I see. I don't see your name because it says iPhone, so, but please.
Is it me?
Yes, it is you.
I've been facing a pretty big fear in the last couple of weeks, and I've noticed that it has a focusing quality and also a lot of thought, a lot of energy. Whole lot of energy. And while I can notice the thinking, there's a lot of it. there's a lot of thinking. And you have to keep walking because this is sort of the reality of the day and your body and your, you know, I just felt like there was a lot of energy and trying to find a place in that fear. Without, I mean, I can't make it go away. It's not something that I can push away. It's something that's very, very present, very, very real. And yet it's not even so solid.
Yeah, when the adrenals are pumping, walking through your days with this anxiety, the thoughts, we're looking for a resolve, we're looking for, we want to perhaps answer things that we don't have power to answer, unknowable, right? Unknowable out here. What happens? Yes, please.
No, I was curious what you were going to say. I mean, that's just all that it, you know, a lot of the anxiety part of it has just resolved. It just came and went. it came and it went. And it doesn't necessarily bear any relationship to what's actually happening. It's, you know, induced by thinking. And then
absolutely.
It doesn't resolve necessarily just because facts change or you get more information or what you were the most afraid of isn't happening, or it doesn't matter because it has a life of its own. It's part of what's happening in your body, and it just is there. it's a thing, and it passes with almost no help from me. It just comes and goes.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like you're already, you're quite aware of the relationship between what's going on here, right? And what's happening in here.
Yeah.
Our thoughts, our minds, very powerful and kind of feeds on itself, right?
Yeah.
It's a cyclical type of relationship. So what happens though? What happens when we kind of, or sometimes I feel, and I know, you know, sometimes it feels impossible to release. It feels impossible to let go, especially when it's in your body so strongly.
Yeah, it's fairly crushing. That's for sure. My daughter said something, and I think I would have maybe taken offense if I hadn't understood what she meant, but she said, take care of yourself. And that message, take care of yourself, was really a bell about just remaining aware of your body, the need for food, you know, the need for sleep, the need for sleeping, you know, literally care of the body is a part of respect, that pretty much temple thing that we have, that life that we have. And I don't think I normally do that. Take care of easier to take care of somebody else, but take care of yourself just has suddenly taken on a really different kind of meaning about, and it's very much about being present with being alive, with what it feels like, you know,
yes.
Changing your diaper,
yeah.
You know,
right? Yeah, that's the go-to. It's to come back just here, just with the body, even when the sensations, the emotions are very strong. Where do we pull our resources? You know, where do we go? What do we do? You know, I go to the trees, I go to the ocean, I put my hands in the earth, whatever it is. And sometimes we just need to keep with that, coming back to the body, coming back to nourishing. And as you said, it passes. Yeah, it passes. And we can hold things in a different way. We tell ourselves, we spend so much story that isn't even rooted and based in anything real or happening, okay? And just that awareness, just that knowing, we come back to what is real, we come back to what is solid. I recently had some very intense anxiety about something, and it was around not trusting a particular thing. I kind of had a story about a particular thing, and just opening, changing my perspective, same particular thing, but just kind of changing my perspective, all stories dispelled, fears banished, and just walk right over it, right through it. And so we have this this tendency, you know, we latch on to something. Not all situations are like that. We can find ourselves in some very scary situations. But a lot of the time we are creating much of this. So discerning the truth. And we have the power, that volition. We have the power to direct ourselves toward, as you say, taking care of ourselves, towards that which is supportive to us, or to a healthful process, a healthful unfolding. Doesn't guarantee that it's easy, but we have the power to point ourselves. We've come to the end of our time together, so short, so brief. So I'm going to share merit and and we'll close. So, once again, just coming into a comfortable position, allowing the eyes to close, allowing what's been shared to settle. So, gathering the merit of our practice, the merit of our understanding, the merit of our insights, the merit of our intention, the merit of these warrior hearts that we are forging, that we are working with. Gathering this. And we gather the understanding that whatever experiences that we walk through, whatever fires of transformation that we face, we have the capacity. May we walk in our truth, may we walk in our authenticity. May we take these benefits, these insights, even the challenges, may we take them and carry them with us as opportunities. May we share our opportunities, our growth, our courage with others. May all beings know the truth of the warrior's heart. May all beings know the path of peace. May all beings walk the path to freedom. With that, I thank you for your practice. So good to see everybody. Beautiful evening. We can unmute and say goodbye if you'd like. Good night.
Thank you so much. Beautiful teaching.
Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Sangha.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.